Okay, good morning. It's August 18th, and Harm's going to lead us in a discussion starting with the Sealed Book of Moses, chapter 16.
So, welcome everybody. Always a privilege to come together to study the scriptures and our freedom and security. So, I'll just start reading, and I hope we'll be led by the Spirit and hope to understand this second invitation a little bit better after today's study. So this is the story of Moses after freeing the Hebrews from slavery to Egypt, chapter 16. It was then at the crossing of the sea, under the cloud of the mighty God, that the nation of Israel, together with the Egyptians who had forsaken their land to serve Jehovah, underwent a baptismal process in me, Moses, through the cloud and of the sea, and thus became thus the children of covenant, under the laws which the Lord God would give to me, for the purpose of teaching the children of Israel to live their commandments as being a united people, which had just left behind the idolatry for the purpose of worshiping only the one true God, under the unity of the church that had been organized on the day of the Passover before Israel left Egypt. So it reminds me of the long silence of you searching for the record button, Russell. I feel always like when you really give the scriptures a chance, you sometimes feel like an infant. Be still and know that I'm God. You are probably familiar with. So there's so much here, but before I share my thoughts, anybody who feels prompted to share some feelings, thoughts.
I would like to know if anybody has anything they could add with this. Underwent a baptismal process in me, Moses, through the cloud and of the sea, and thus became the children of the covenant.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, looking at the Portuguese, if it lightens it any the different translation processes that I'm looking at. One here says, Jehovah passed through the baptismal process in me. That wondered to me, Moses, through the cloud and the sea and became thus the children of covenant. That's pretty much the same. I'm curious too.
I mean, if we have completely open minds and try to be a bystander observing this, what would it look like? They talk about the waters were divided. Makes you wonder if that cloud had anything to do with that, or and it said A and C.
So Bob has a
It's
comment.
We need to look up 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. I got to find my Bible.
I was going to mention something, and Brother Bob would probably recall more about this, but there was an experience when one of the times when Joseph F. Smith went down with some of the first witnesses, that they had like a mass baptism in, from my understanding, was in the ocean there in Brazil. And I believe Brother Tyler was there as well. I don't know if Brother Bob was there at that occasion or not, but
Oh, no,
I remember.
I was not there, Rex, but
I didn't think so, but I remember bits and pieces of Tyler telling about it, but he likened it to this verse. The waves of the sea were very forceful, and yeah, that's about all I can remember about it. I was hoping maybe someone else had some on it, but
well, I have a bit of information. That was the
okay.
time Joseph F. Smith was there, I think, do you say that? And Kelvin. And there was a number of people. They went to the around Palhoça, it's close to the ocean, and there's, oh, a dozen or more beaches. And they went to one and the waves were too high, and they went to another one, and they went to several beaches before they found one where maybe the surf wasn't so strong. And they went out into the water and they formed a circle and started to baptize. And Joseph Smith tells the story that he had one baptizing one lady and put her under the water, and the surf took her away. And so it was kind of a funny thing, that happened, but I guess he must have repeated the baptism ceremony there. And at the same time, Kelvin was, I believe, the office of priest, and he was asked to baptize the last person that was wanting to be baptized. And so he went out into the water with the person and realized he didn't know the words to say. I couldn't remember them, so he ran out of the water, asked Joseph what the words were, went back in and baptized whoever it was. So that's all I remember.
Want me to read the scripture, Brother Bob?
Yes, this is a good cross reference to what we were reading.
So I believe it was 1 Corinthians 10, verse 2.
Well, if it starts with verse one, it looks like.
Yeah, it could be better. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all your fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all the same spiritual, and did all the same spiritual, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Very interesting. Well, for me, this confirms the whole idea of the unified people. And also a thought I wanted to share was the through the cloud and the sea, what we talked about, also refers, I think, into the beginning of Genesis, the waters above and the waters below. So to be sanctified as a larger body, people sanctified to the Lord. And of course, in the end, they don't want to, and they get, I think, like a lower law with the Ten Commandments. But this is before that. Here they have the, it's interesting that here they still have the possibility of becoming a whole person with maybe the high priesthood and everything. So that for me is interesting, the whole idea of a family first. And this is the extended family with 400 years purification, and then the crown is like the baptism, and then with the fire. They eventually maybe we're not ready, but it's interesting that it's in the similitude of the individual, and to be able to better understand. We need like big gestures and the whole history of the family, with the whole kings and laws. And
Brother Harm,
yes,
may I
please,
comment?
please.
I'm thinking that, can you imagine what 3 million people or thereabouts passing through the opening in the Red Sea and becoming baptized under the sea and the cloud, or have this baptism? It's, to me, it's perhaps a parallel between the redemption of Christ and the salvation in Christ, that we're told in the scriptures that Jesus is the Redeemer. He redeems all mankind from the fall. However, that doesn't mean all mankind are saved, which salvation is a personal thing. So I don't know if there's a parallel there, that God chose the nation of Israel and sort of redeemed them from the captivity of Egypt, but they have yet to understand what salvation was. I mean, I don't know.
I think it's interesting. It reminds me of what Joseph Smith taught, but you can, if you don't have the baptism of fire and only with water, then you can just as well baptize a sack of sand. And it is interesting that if you only would have the water baptism, that they would not endure, that they could not endure the fire, the sanctification process, just as maybe in time of Joseph Smith with the larger part of the branches did not keep the higher priesthood. But that's just a thought.
Let me make one more comment.
Yes.
I was looking at this into Moses, what it means. I look at, there are a bunch of different English translations, and some of them implies it's as followers of Moses. I think that makes sense to me.
And that's also the process in me, because he was the prophet. So they needed to go through him, through the, and he probably also had things he couldn't share or wasn't able to, as it says in the sealed book, that he couldn't even pass it on to his own children. So there's a lot going on, of course. Any comments for verse one?
Okay. Yes, Brother Harm, I have something that I just read that I really don't even know if it's even relevant at all. But I just thought it was interesting because it has to do with the names of God. And if I'm right, I think these verses have a lot to do with Hebrew Kabbalah. But I know they got some things mixed up in their Kabbalah with the angels and all that weird stuff. So it's really
Kabbalah.
Awesome that Brother Mauricio is really teaching the truth on this stuff. Okay, so it's in Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 through 21. And I'll read them and I'll be quick and then I'll give it back to you, Harm.
Okay.
And the angel, okay. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came to, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided.
Thank you. Helps to get the picture right. It's magnificent, and also interesting the dividing, and the people get set apart, and I think this is the whole, not only an individual gets set apart, as we have to make our own decisions and mature in acting and thinking and processing, but this is the whole as a people is so interesting. So thanks for sharing that, and the I think also the day and the night is very apparent here, very 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 significant division of a right and wrong. If you were there. So thank you. Let's go to the second verse. I will do what I see you doing to ask the people how they are on the screen. So for me, Brother Robert is in the left corner. Brother Bob, would you read the second verse?
Yes. Regardless of where they were, they would all be one in the knowledge and subservience to the covenants made by Jehovah with the nation of Israel. From before they left Egypt, when all shared the Passover, 14 days after the first new moon appeared in the heavens, which should be strictly observed according to the covenant established for liberation of the people of Israel, prefiguring then that the Israelite nation, by observing the commandments given by me, Moses, would prefigure the church of the Lamb of God in all dispensations. Dash, for how much this one paschal day to be observed strictly 14 days after the first new moon of the first month, Abib, is to be kept in perpetuity among the people of the covenant, because it represents the liberation of his people from the slavery of Egypt. However, it is also the first day that God organized his church from the beginning of time, and only on this day does God redeem it. Whenever necessary, in every predetermined time by him before the foundation of the world.
Thank you. So it's always the same. This is also an interesting testimony of the eternal round. In every predetermined time, only on this day.
I was just thinking that the Lord has said that this world is now passing away. So when the world passes away, I guess that ends this cycle of April 6th. Because there would be no clock when the earth passes away.
Well, it's in the end is in the beginning, as as Isaiah states so interesting, and what we now have with this new knowledge in the sealed book, that the very clear statement of the that the future is intertwined with history and the finality of the whole exaltation process of the earth. It's interesting. I was just talking to Sister Bauke about this week, and how it must have been for dear brother John Paul Pratt when he read this. I feel sometimes overwhelmed with the amount of new knowledge and new perceptions we are supposed to process. But at the same time, if you take the effort and go to the source of things, the fountain, you get to know for yourself, and then it becomes has more weight if you want to work it, walk the process. Any thoughts?
I can read the reference here in Exodus.
Please.
Exodus 12, verse 2, 6, and then 13, 4. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And then chapter 13, verse 4, this day came ye out in the month Ahib. Ahib or Abib? Abib.
Abib.
Abib. So the month of Abib was the first month unto them, and it was the 14th day of that first month of the year, which on our calendar, did you say, Brother Bob, that was corresponds to April? April 6th?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's in the revelations and documents of the second invitation. It also, so that really interesting. Because he's always the same. And this has, yeah, for me, the whole, the timing of the Lord has really important significance.
Yeah, in the book of Esther, the 14th day of Adar was, oh, wait a minute. The appointed day when the Jews redeemed themselves or defended themselves. I'll have to get my timing right, but the 14th is interesting. That shows up several places. 14 days after the beginning of the month. I think some of these names of the months have changed from the scriptures. I'll see if there's a connection between Abib and Adar.
That would be the full moon, if I'm thinking correctly. That may have something to play with it.
Yeah,
it's interesting. The 14. I love the 7, but 14 is two times. And so we have the also the 14 in the genealogy of Jesus, you are probably aware of, between important 14 and also it's interesting the 70 years is also in that of the when they were in exile. So it's interesting. We have to look at the individual processes and communal process, I think. So this is a communal baptism process with water and fire. In the fire part, they weren't ready, I think. But we got some part of it through the sealed book now with Moses. But also the exile of the 70 years, it, you can look at also like that, like a proxy things going on, different levels, different paradigms. So very interesting verse this about liberation, a new beginning. And also for me, this is a big part of the clearness. This is so detailed, but that also makes us think about what are we celebrating here. We here in the Netherlands, we have in the last 50 years, there has been since Woodstock, maybe better known for you, there has been an enormous explosion of entertainment. At the same time, the churches have been empty, being emptied. It's interesting that you have to have a date when something is happening. And why are we gathering? Why do we come together? So very, very important that all is correct. That gives the peace. Before the foundation of the world. It's so great. It is so great. Okay. Brother Rex, would you read the third verse?
Yes. This being the terms predetermined by God to organize his church properly on the face of the earth, just as it occurred on the day of the first Passover observed by the Hebrews in Egypt on the 14th day of the month Abib. There's a dash. However, the day when God established his church in the days of Adam, he set a fixed an unchanging day for the children of men, regardless of the position of the moon in the heaven, to which he set out in all ages to properly organize and structure his church on earth, and which by chance to occur on the 14th day of the lunar calendar among the people of Israel in Egypt, making this day for to be remembered for they of generation after generation, but which for God does not change the fixed day, decreed by him and his only begotten before the foundation of the world and for all eternity. So, to me, it's kind of interesting that it says, in the previous verse, it says, let me find it. It talks about the first time the church
is that at the end of verse 1?
I think so. I'm trying to look at it here. Says it is also the first day that God organized his church from the beginning of time. So I think I get confused sometimes, and I think that it says it's the first time that the church was organized, but that's not what it says. It says it's the first day that God organized his church. So it's the same day as in the days of Adam and also in the days of Moses. I don't know if anyone else has played around with these dates at all, but I don't know. It's been some time back. I just was messing around trying to see when the next time April 6th and the 14th of Abib would be on the same, you know, would be the same day as we know it. And I came up with 2050. So April 6th, 2050 would equal Nisan or Abib 14 of the Hebrew year 5810. So I don't know. That's neither here nor there, I guess, but I thought it was interesting to mess around with that date.
Yeah, if you look at the footnote, it takes us to section 20 of the DNC, LDS version, and that talks about the date that the church was organized on April 6th, 1830. And that day was revealed to Joseph. I think it was actually a Wednesday, April 6th, 1830. I don't think it was a Sunday, but he did it on that day, and they organized it according to the laws of the land of New York. And then we get the reference in Mormon chapter 3, verse 2, where he says, "It came to pass that the Lord is saying to me, cry unto this people, repent ye, and come unto me, and be ye baptized, and build up again my church, and ye shall be spared." So I wonder if this date that has been predetermined by God throughout all of history is, in fact, our April 6th. And in the days of Moses and the children of Israel, it just happened to be the 14th day of the month of Abib. I'm curious, for the second invitation, when was that formally organized? Was that also in April 6th, like in 2018 or something?
Maybe that was the same.
2019?
If I'm correct, Brother Bob.
Okay, the references we have to April 6th. The first one is April 6th, 2007. Marisa was driving through Agudo, and that's when he had the experience. He saw the light on the mountain. He remembered his experience with Raphael, the angel. He started to climb up the mountain, and that ended with the experience of him seeing Moroni for the first time, April 6, 2007. And I thought that was like a beginning of the second invitation. I mean, that's the event that sort of brought heaven to earth. The angel came, you know, with the everlasting gospel, and Mauricio received the plates. And but then Mauricio gave a speech, which is on YouTube, at conference. He gave a speech, and in that speech he said the date that the second invitation started was April 6th, 2017. That's when Joseph F. Smith and Mauricio organized the church officially.
2019,
sorry. It wouldn't be 17 because that was 19, 2019.
Yeah.
When they had that meeting in rural Holden, Missouri, and in Brazil. So
that was a Saturday.
Yes.
I'm just pasting in the chat. I just looked it up on Google. So April 6th, 1830 was a Tuesday. April 6th, 2019 was a Saturday. And I'd be curious to know if those were the 14 days after the new moon in those respective years. I guess that's some additional research we could do to figure if that's the day.
Well, maybe one thought. What really fascinates me is the clearness and the conciseness about the celestial bodies of the moon, the function of the moon as the most closest with the water and the tides and everything, and then you have the lunar system, And that's all over the world. These calendar systems with lunar or moon or combinations. And then the Lord comes here in verse 3. I understand all that. Like he's talking to us, and I understand all that. Like, but I set a fixed and unchanging day, regardless of the positions. And that for me was so, like, mind blowing, interesting. When I studied a little bit this sacred round of Brother Pratt, and of course not Brother Pratt, but the whole North and South American continent. And that's a sad thing. Only where to, and that's what we're doing actually with Zion too, I think, with the tuning of the fork of David on our own inward chords. I cannot understand all these calculations so much, but I can sense that this must be important, that this should be correct, and not just some, let's pick a date and be all there. And it's fascinating that you have to peel the onion, all the layers. And what's it about? Why is it so important? Because everything has to fit. Everything is has to be perfect. Because this is the house of God. This is a house of order, and He's an unchanging God. He's the same. But some stuff is new for the first time for us to ponder. Like that Lehi was from a whole tribe of scribes. So that should give us a little more, be a little bit more humble, so that we have the scriptures in the first place. Fixed. Okay. Michael, would you do the fourth?
Yeah. Do you want to take 4 and 5 since they're short verses?
Yes. Go ahead.
If therefore a church is organized to the Lord on a day other than this day, then this will serve as a sign for you to know that this church does not proceed from the hand of God, and that He will never lay its foundations on another day beyond from the one who is predetermined from the beginnings of all times. It happened then over time, because of the murmurings of all the congregation of Israel, that the disbelief of the people displeased the Lord, in view of all that He had done hitherto. And for this reason, the Lord allowed our enemies to make war against us, to once again manifest to the people of Israel from whence their strength and their help came. That's interesting. So that's that day that was predetermined since the very beginning back to Adam for the church to be organized and reorganized throughout the generations. That's the sign that you will know that the church, whether or not it proceeds from God or not. And it,
yeah,
and I guess go ahead.
And the importance of that fact, and the sign of it, and the peace that comes with the clearness and the plainness of it. And it's so interesting. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to refer back in the middle of verse 3. He set a fixed and unchanging day for the children of man, regardless of the position of the moon in the heaven. So I guess in the days of the children of Israel, it just happened to fall on the 14th day of that first month, but it doesn't necessarily have to be that throughout the generations of men. It's a fixed day, and it doesn't necessarily track the position of the moon in the heaven, but it's meant to be a sign unto the children of men throughout the generations, whether the church that was restructured or reorganized, whatever, proceeded from God or not. And I'm assuming that day is April 6th, based on what we're with the references and not whatnot. Are April 6th on the Gregorian calendar? Am I wrong? Maybe that's speculation. I don't know.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I think you've got it. You've got it right.
It's interesting also the acknowledgments we have for the Lord, and that the disbelief of the person, of the people displeased in view of all that he had done, you know, all the clearness, all the what they had with all their knowledge that they still would not appreciate, you know. And then I love that about the sealed book, the murmurings and the grumblings. The Lord hates that more than anything, and the murmuring and the grumbling, because you get used to that. You know, it's like a venom. It gets into you, and you get like a sour acre yourself. But it's interesting because the murmurings, again, all the congregation. And then you go to the next point, that God allows Satan to make war on our enemies and all the problems. And why? Because they forgot the fountain. That's interesting with the from whence their strength, their help came. That's the godlessness of people nowadays. They have no acknowledgement of the source, and therefore they're like woke or not woke, but there's not the acknowledgement of the source. That's why we know the tree by the fruit, because that's where the third force comes in, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because where does it come from? Where does something come from? Where does it go? And there's the fruit. And it's so beautiful here. From whence their strength? So this is very important to acknowledge the source of life. Okay. Any other insights?
Thoughts? Yeah, you're mentioning, Brother Harm, of the murmuring. I did a talk some years back regarding murmuring, and I focused on comparing the words murder and murmur and how close they are in spelling. And to me, murmuring is like murdering in your heart. So we can see why the Lord gets so upset with not only individuals, but the congregation of his people murmuring. You know, they're essentially having feelings of murder in their hearts. And that was given to me to understand that's what the Lord sees it as and feels it as, is in fact likened unto murdering with our feelings. So anyway, that just popped into my head. Thank you.
Good point. Thank you. It's it reminds me of the room you have to make, and that's with the killing aspect. Maybe it. Yeah. Thank you. So, Brother Russell, would you read verse 6?
I'm going to read 6 through 11, since it all seems to have the same account.
All right. I'm okay.
And it came to pass in the land of Rephidim that the Amalekites encamped about to attack the children of Israel. In view of this, I, Moses, called Joshua, And I commanded that he choose some men for the battle against the Amalekites. For how much I said to Joshua that I would be on the top of the hill according to the command that God had given me, in which I would hold the rod of the Most High in my hands while my arms would be in the high. And thus said the Lord to me, just as I live, if you keep your arms outstretched over your head, so shall thy victory be against the Amalek today. And Joshua did as I had told him, for how much I, Moses, Aaron, and Hur, we climbed to the top of the hill. But being me advanced in years, I could not bear to remain for a long time with my arms outstretched over my head with that heavy stick in my hands. And as soon as I lowered my arms to rest, Amalek was immediately to take over the battle. But when I lifted up the rod, Israel prevailed against the Amalekites. At this, Aaron and Hur interrupted me, saying, Is it seen by us that your hands, Moses, are too heavy to keep your arm raised high? Please let us help you. But behold, it had not been said by God that I might have help. So I rebuked him at first. But there came a time when I could no longer raise my hands to the top, and my legs could no longer stand, when Aaron and Hur came to sustain me, and they took a stone and put it under me, and Aaron and Hur maintained my hands raised high, Aaron on my right side and Hur on the left side, and so my hands stood firm until sundown. As a result, Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword.
Great. Thank you. That's great. It is also the three there with the stone beneath him. It's interesting because we're also molding the stones and cutting the stones. So it's not only the left, right, and the whole thing. The eagle needs both wings to fly. But it's also the foundation. How firm a foundation. And the pride is interesting. Isn't it? Because who would, yeah. And it had not been said by God that I might have helped. it reminds me of the Doctrine and Covenants, where it says, it's not good that I command you in all things. So we should look forward and become an expert in the handling of the words, and even to be able to steer the keep the course and the aim right.
Yeah, I think the three, the three holding up the rod, the representation of the unity that should be had among the priesthood, and not only that, but among the Church of Christ, how powerful and how great miracles we will see, when we're all united, and when the priesthood has its full power because of the feelings within the hearts of all the people of the congregation or of the Church of Christ. So that's what it makes me think of. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. It manifests that if that you put your whole strength in it, and it is something. If we don't act, action speaks louder than words. So if we don't act, also interesting that they've stood firm. My hands stood firm until sundown. So the finality again interests me a lot lately. So you have eternity and finality, and the peace in the movement, and the movement in peace. Also interesting that they interrupted him, I think, is also good. Sometimes we tend to put people on a pedestal and be in awe. And we, it's, I'm, don't get me wrong, I'm really grateful with Mauricio. Wow, we have a prophet who talked with Moroni and gave us this new scriptures and perception. But it is good, you know, to be interrupted. It is seen by us. So feel free, you know. My dear wife, she interrupts me often, and she says, "Listen, you have no idea." And I see this. I learned from my wife. She was a journalist for a while with my native tongue, Frisian radio. And she learned to ask questions. But for me, I was very much interested in answers. So I sing and make music and give my testimony. But to ask the right question or to let the be still and know that I'm God. Also in music, don't really, it's true. Even in music, it does not work to have music all the time. Sometimes you need to make some room. So let us interrupt our family members, but on the right tone and with eternal truth. So let's go. Dear brother Woodby, are you? I don't see you, but maybe you are still there.
I am still here. Number 12.
Would you like to read 11?
I think you did 11, right?
Yeah, we did 11.
Yep. Oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Number 12. And it came to pass when Jethro, my father-in-law, came to me, Moses, and my sons and my wife, Zipporah, in the wilderness to the mountain of God, where he was encamped. And as soon as I saw them, I immediately went out to meet my father-in-law and bowed and kissed him. And after asking each other about their well-being, we went into my tent, where I told my father-in-law what Jehovah had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians because of Israel, and all the tribulations that passed in the way, and how the Lord delivered us out of the hand of Amalek with the help of Aaron and Hur. You want me to do
13.
Same thing. 13, and it came to pass upon my resistance to accept the help of Aaron and Hur that the Lord said to me the next day, "It is not good that I should stand alone in the presence of my church, of my firstborn, for how much you need support, just as I showed you in the battle of Rephidim, when Aaron and Hur helped you with high hands."
Isn't that great? That it is, yeah. He, to help him understand. But first, yeah, you got to get to the point that you really are the prophet and that you're doing it. And then, you know, like it's like with the faith, that you need the faith is like with the seed, and you water it, and then it grows and it gets to be a tree, and then you need a whole bunch of people to lift the ground surrounding the tree. And then it gets even bigger. Then it gets to be a city and a country. And it's so interesting. You need support. And high hands, isn't that great? high hands. Aaron, would you like to go for verse 14?
Yes. Behold, now I'll let you know, Moses, that there would be no victory if you had not allowed Aaron and Hur to sustain you at that moment. In a similar way, I tell you, behold, the time has come for you to organize my church according to the old order of Enoch, which has been in existence since the days of Adam. For how much my gospel is the same, is ever the same, being eternal and unchanging. Do you want me to keep going?
Let's do one more.
My gospel, therefore, must contain in itself all the offices of my priesthood according to the old order of Enoch, even as I will make thee known through my servant Reuel, thy father-in-law.
That's interesting.
This compares with Ephesians, foundation of apostles and prophets.
I thought Jethro was his father-in-law.
They're the same person.
Yeah, it's a different name.
He's also
Reuel, the angel name, and Jethro, the mortal name.
I don't know about that. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Ever the same, eternal and unchanging. And it's also funny that they should name it old, I thought. Old order. I mean, old, we're talking about eternal stuff here. But maybe it was the first. That's why. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry. I just.
Okay.
Did you notice in number 15? You would think perhaps it said, my church, therefore, must contain in itself all the offices of my priesthood. But it says, my gospel.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's the whole plan of salvation, of the exaltation, of the life eternal. And how to organize that. The time has come. You know, it's all about timing.
Yeah, I'm noticing a parallel here, an interesting observation that this is kind of a blueprint for Mauricio. As he's translating this and reading through this, that he's to do the same thing that Moses did. Am I wrong?
No.
No.
Right on the money.
He's going through similar stages. And we are, as a people.
So how far do you want to go, Harm?
Let's see. Oh.
I guess that's a good stopping point. We still have another to 22, so that I guess we could pick up next week. The time went pretty fast today.
I think it's okay. Let's wrap it up and go next week, pick it up at 16.
Okay, good enough.